When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
With the best all-inclusive vacation deals to Mexico and the Caribbean, booking your getaway with Cheap Caribbean Vacations means you have more freedom to do your deal. Whether you want to enjoy snorkeling, endless margaritas and more, or simply soak up the sun and sand in a tropical paradise, Cheap Caribbean Vacations has your deal for that. Plan and book the exact getaway you want at exactly the right price for you by using our exclusive budget beach finder, or find a featured all-inclusive package to Ocean by H10 Hotels and do your deal at CheapCaribbean.com.
Hey there. I want to give you a heads up that this episode may be upsetting for some listeners. Another gruesome murder is part of this family's story.
Previously on Hello, John Doe.
I just wanted the answers. Who was Sharon Marshall? The DNA matched both the father and the mother. And it came back as a confirmation that the girl who was killed in Oklahoma City was Suzanne Savakis.
I just completely broke down. Completely broke down.
I sometimes have this feeling that's hard to explain, but I'm going to try. It's almost like there's a thin veil between life and death, and sometimes I can see right through it. It's part of why I got into this business of trying to find the names of John Doe's. The dead don't feel that far away from me. They're close by. My brother and sister who died soon after being born, they're still with me. And so were the two missing boys I became obsessed with back in 2004. At that point, I was 34, raising two boys of my own and working on the Doe Network. Some days my mind would wander, and I'd find myself thinking about the two missing boys. All things considered, I guess the six-year-old was alive and the infant was dead, just because it's hard to keep an infant alive. But eventually the infant, Steve Patterson, called me.
I don't even know how I got your number. He picked up the phone. I mean, it was just one in a billion, I guess.
But the six-year-old Michael never did. His mama was Susie Savakis, and he went by Michael Hughes. When I think of that thin veil between life and death, I'm not sure which side he's on. He was in first grade when he vanished. News crews talked to some of his classmates.
He was in my class, but now he's not there anymore.
No, he's not. Where is he?
Somebody took him.
Sometimes I look at Michael's Doe Network page. He has this big toothy grin with missing teeth. Makes me think of my own sons, and then my grandsons. Other days, I Google stories of men trying to find their parents, or look through John Doe's. And then there are days that I wake up and think, he's gone. I'm going to tell you what happened to him. Then you can decide for yourself which side of the veil he's on. My name is Todd Matthews, and this is Hello, John Doe, a sleuth, a family, and a serial killer. The story of a family torn apart by tragedy and my quest to bring them back together. Chapter 7, The Other Missing Boy. After Susie died, Floyd went to prison. Officials had finally figured out he'd been a fugitive on the run since 1973. So their child, Michael, ended up in foster care. He was a sweet toddler with brown hair and brown eyes, scar on his forehead and two little crooked bottom teeth.
So Michael was in the custody of two of the nicest people walking the face of the earth, Merle and Ernest Bean.
That's former FBI agent Scott Lobb. He was tasked with figuring out what happened to Michael after his mama died. The Beans were an Oklahoma couple. Here they are on a local program talking about how they started fostering kids.
We were at church and had these two adorable little boys. And one day I was talking to him and they said, oh, well, they're foster children. And we had no idea what foster children was all about. They told us that it was through the Department of Human Services and that you just take kids in and love them like you do your own. And I thought, we can do that.
The Beans would go on to foster 80 children, if you can believe it, including young Michael Hughes. They took him in May 1st, 1990. He had just celebrated his second birthday. Apparently, a caseworker told the Beans he still drank out of a bottle and only drank Pepsi. He seemed to have some developmental delays and sometimes threw epic tantrums. For a two-year-old, Michael had already had it tough. But the Beans gave him all the love they could over the next 4 years. Michael started to come into his own, growing physically and emotionally. This story has so many examples of chosen family. This is one. The Beans chose Michael as their family, and he chose them too. But throughout those 4 years, Franklin Floyd still got to see Michael, even though he was now in prison. The Beans had to bring Michael to the El Reno Federal Correctional Institute.
Floyd would get, I don't know, an hour or two with him.
The Beans said Michael hated every minute of it. He'd go hide and talk about that mean man. But in 1993, Floyd's sentence was up. He was a free man. And he wanted to pick up where he left off. By then, Michael was in kindergarten.
When he gets out of prison, he starts trying to regain custody of Michael through the court system and through public, through media. And he's being turned down at every point.
Floyd was persistent, though. He wanted Michael.
Finally, somebody got wise and requested that essentially a DNA test be done. And it turns out Floyd's not the father. And so immediately the Bean family filed for adoption.
The DNA test results effectively stopped Michael's visits with Floyd, which apparently got under Floyd's skin.
Floyd knew from his interactions with Michael in the prison setting that he had a real love for the Bean family. He couldn't handle this. To him, Michael was his.
The Beans knew something was up. Merle Bean even said she saw Floyd lurking around their house in a pickup truck. So they acted swiftly, trying to file for adoption as quickly as possible. But right before the adoption was finalized in 1994, Floyd did something drastic. Awful. On September 12, 1994, Michael Hughes went into his first grade classroom in Indian Meridian Elementary School, the way he did every day. He wore black high-top sneakers, wore red and blue shorts. He carried an Aladdin backpack. While Michael was in school, Floyd left his halfway house in Oklahoma City, wearing a wrinkled suit. He had a gun. He showed up at the front desk of Indian Meridian Elementary School. This is what he said, according to news reports. "Think I better tell you I got a gun in my pocket. And I better show it to you. I'm ready to die. And if you don't help me, you won't live." He took Michael out of his classroom, and he took Principal James Davis too. He forced them both into the principal's pickup truck and made him drive into the woods. There, he tied the principal to a tree. Then he got back into the pickup truck with Michael and drove away. It was the last time anyone saw Michael. Not knowing what happened to him destroyed the Bean family.
Michael, who we were in the process of getting the papers and everything, was kidnapped. And after that, we said, no more foster kids.
There was a nationwide search. The Beans talked to newspapers, got on TV. They pleaded, keep an eye out for Michael.
Franklin Floyd, claiming to be the boy's father, abducted him, even tied up the school's principal in the woods nearby. Michael Hughes still hasn't been seen since.
After the kidnapping, Floyd ran off one more time. A few months later, Floyd, then 51 years old, moved to Louisville and got a job as a used car salesman. His neighbors observed some weird details. He wore secondhand clothing and wanted to stay up all night. One neighbor said he always wanted to come over and watch The Fugitive on TV. On his second day at the dealership, couriers delivered an express mail package to Floyd. Except they were really undercover agents. Mark Yancey remembers. At the time, he was an assistant U.S. attorney in the Western District of Oklahoma.
Floyd had applied for a license under one of his aliases, and he had applied in Kentucky. So that's how we were able to locate him in Kentucky. He had slipped up by trying to get an ID under one of his old aliases.
They arrested him and charged him with the kidnapping of both Michael and his principal.
The trial actually started in April of 1995, about 10 days before the Oklahoma City bombing, which actually occurred right across the street from the courthouse where we tried Franklin Floyd.
Mark Yancey was one of the prosecutors on the case.
And the trial became a little interesting because Franklin Floyd decided to waive his right to a jury trial.
Mark's guess? Floyd might have figured a jury might not be so friendly to him, especially because no one knew where Michael was.
There was another interesting twist to the case. In addition to him waiving his right to a jury trial, he really wanted to represent himself.
This was unconventional, kind of bizarre.
Judge Alley actually bent over backwards to assist Franklin Floyd. You typically can't have a lawyer and argue the case yourself. It's one or the other. It's called hybrid representation. Judge Alley allowed some form of hybrid representation to placate Franklin Floyd. One of Franklin Floyd's key defenses is, I can't be guilty. I am the father of Michael Hughes. So we put on DNA evidence to disprove that he was the biological father of Michael Hughes. And of course, he countered by suggesting that he was sort of the de facto father or grandfather.
You heard that right. He was simultaneously arguing that he was both the father and grandfather of Michael, which wasn't true. But Mark and the other prosecutor did call Michael's real father to testify.
Greg Higgs, who was actually Michael's biological father. Very normal, married and had his own children and knew nothing about Michael. He did not know that he was Michael's father and had noted to us that if he would have known that there was this whole custody dispute and that Sharon had died, he would have gladly adopted Michael as his own son.
My God, his real father would have taken him in, had he known.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity. It's designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals to help cover unexpected expenses, plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. In other words, it's like getting a paycheck for life. We'll say that again. A paycheck for life. Guaranteed. Sounds too good to be true? It's not. It's the Parity Flex annuity. And it's one more example of their commitment to creating a better financial future for women. One where they feel empowered, not excluded, and ready to take on whatever their next chapter holds. Gainbridge believes financial flexibility and security are things we all could use more of. At retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Who's with us? Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Please visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.
With the best all-inclusive vacation deals to Mexico and the Caribbean, booking your getaway with Cheap Caribbean Vacations means you have more freedom to do your deal. Whether you want to enjoy snorkeling, endless margaritas and more, or simply soak up the sun and sand in a tropical paradise, Cheap Caribbean Vacations has your deal for that. Plan and book the exact getaway you want at exactly the right price for you by using our exclusive budget beach finder, or find a featured all-inclusive package to Generations Riviera Maya Resort and do your deal at CheapCaribbean.com.
The trial didn't last longer than a week. Trials go much quicker when you don't have a jury. After 20 years of running from similar crimes, Floyd couldn't run anymore. He was finally locked up on federal charges and sentenced to 52 years for the kidnappings and other related crimes.
There's no parole in the federal system. So when you get a 50-year-plus sentence, it's effectively life without parole.
Franklin Floyd may have been caught for taking Michael and Principal James Davis, but authorities still wanted to know where the boy was. By the early 2010s, it was a cold case, and the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children was doing a cold case review. So they asked Agent Scott Lobb to reopen the case. That's how he and Agent Furr ended up interviewing Franklin Floyd. He was trying to jumpstart the case for the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. Moving it forward meant finding out who Sharon Marshall was and what happened to her. It also meant figuring out what happened to Michael.
And at the time of Michael's disappearance, they had local police involved in the matter. But at the time, it was still not known if Franklin Floyd had taken him across state lines. And that is an element that is necessary for a prosecution of kidnapping at the federal level.
As soon as Agent Lobin first started asking, Floyd flipped out, started rambling.
We're FBI agents. We're here to talk to you about Michael Hughes. And I said, I've reopened the investigation. And he looked at me and says, well, I'd appreciate it if you'd close it.
Oh, hell no. Seems to me that Floyd thought if he asked very nicely, the FBI could close their cold case investigation into a missing kid. The agents didn't bat an eye. They took Floyd back to the day he kidnapped Michael from Indian Meridian Elementary School. After leaving Principal Davis tied up in the woods, where did he take Michael? He said they drove along Interstate 35 outside of Oklahoma City.
And we had walked him down Interstate 35, and Floyd said, we ended up in Dallas. We want to know what happened between Oklahoma City and Dallas.
Now he had admitted to crossing state lines, but what he's about to admit to next is really hard to listen to. Floyd and Michael were in the pickup truck together.
According to Floyd, Michael was asking about the Beans, how he wanted to go back and see Mama Bean, and he was just acting up on the drive down there. And Floyd said he got to the point where he knew he could never be with Michael again. He knew every law enforcement official in the state of Oklahoma was searching for him.
Think about all the witnesses at the elementary school. Plus, it was now publicly known that Floyd wasn't Michael's father. He couldn't pass Michael off as his, the way he did Susie. On the way out of town, Floyd said he stopped to get a few things.
Well, I stopped at a convenience store in Del City, which is a suburban Oklahoma City, and bought him, you know, some drinks and some knickknacks, he called them.
Agents Furr and Lobb were following Floyd's path as he described what happened.
You pass the Crossroads Mall. And he goes, well, that's where I handed Michael off. No, you didn't, Floyd. At this point, we're just not even putting up with that. And we say, you didn't, you took him. And Nate jumps in at this point and said, you know, we have the starting point, we have the ending point. We want to know what happened in the middle.
Floyd seemed like he was ready to answer. He asked for a pencil and a piece of paper.
He draws a map. And it's Interstate 35. We walk him down that road. What did you do? And then Floyd goes, you know, he just goes on forever talking about how they stopped.
They both got out of the car in a brushy, secluded area off the side of the road.
They pray, they talk, they pray some more. And he's crying. It's all crocodile tears, but he's crying, he's moaning. And I, at this point, I knew we had him. I slammed my hand down on the tabletop and said, how did you kill him? And he startled him. He said, don't you do that, in reference to me slapping my hand on the table. I'm asking him, how'd you kill him? Nate's asking him, why'd you kill him? Now I'm just repeating myself. And he's looking off to his right, crying and so forth. And he finally turned and looked at me. Tears are gone. And he says, I shot him twice in the back of the head to make it real quick.
After years of deception, Floyd finally told the truth. It was worse than I ever imagined. What a waste. He could have just let the Beans raise Michael. His real father, Greg, was even willing to raise him. Agent Lobb has a theory on why Floyd would kill Michael.
This is what I think. This isn't what Floyd said, but in his selfish mind, he said, well, if I can't have him, nobody's going to have him. He killed him. Very heartbreaking.
For almost two decades, no one had known what happened to Michael. not the Beam family, not Sandy and her kids. Now Franklin Floyd finally gave them an answer. There's a comfort in having a resolution after so many years of searching for clues. And yet, there was no sense of comfort at the end of this.
You know, a little kid lost his life, so it wasn't really, it wasn't a high five moment. You know, it was, we got the answer.
The next step was getting photographs of the region to try to figure out where the murder had happened. These clues might help them find Michael's body.
We took a couple members of the evidence response team from the office down there with us, just do a kind of a cursory survey, an initial survey, and we decided we got to go back and talk to Floyd. We want to really zero in on where, because it's a big piece of property, where this happened. And so we did. In January of 2015, we went back and saw Floyd for the last time.
A few months later, a full team descended on that area in Oklahoma. There was an evidence response team, an anthropologist, and a state forensic doctor.
And we go down there. We picked out an area based on Floyd's description of where we thought the murder happened. And we staked off maybe a 2,000 square foot area. They had cautioned us, the anthropologist and the forensic person from the state, that you're not going to find any human matter.
It's because of something else I really hate thinking about. The area where Michael was shot has a high population of wild hogs.
We sat there for 2 days, 8 hours, 10 hours a day, just sifting dirt, looking for something. And we didn't find anything at all.
My heart sank when I heard they didn't find a body or even bones. But without remains, I figured we didn't know for sure that Michael was dead. Maybe there's hope. Agent Lobb thought otherwise.
I believe Floyd killed Michael where he said he did. And I say that because in interviewing Floyd, you're looking for indicators that somebody's lying to you. And with Floyd, he was lying to us all the time. But we knew when he was telling the truth, called almost a truth tell. And there is no doubt in my mind that Floyd was telling the truth in how he killed Michael and where he killed Michael. And then there's people who think Michael's still living and walking the earth somewhere. I don't believe that at all. I just don't believe it.
I guess I'd just like to hear it from Michael. I know it sounds strange, but I'm in a holding pattern until I see a body. I need to see it so that it can release me. And I'm the sleuth in this story. I can't even imagine how Michael's biological family thinks about his disappearance. So I called up Sandy to ask her about her grandson.
Do I think Michael's alive? I mean, you and I disagree about this, Todd, but I don't think Michael's alive.
I just want him to be.
I would love for him to be alive, but I know what a temper Floyd had.
Yeah.
And if he thought he was disrespected, it's hard telling what he would do.
I don't think we disagree. I don't think we really disagree so much as it is. I think we both hope.
Yes.
And I hope pretty heavy, so I still don't want to give up.
I haven't given up either.
So Floyd landed behind bars for kidnapping Michael because he couldn't or wouldn't let him grow up with the Beans. But that kidnapping was not what put him on death row. In the early 2000s, a Florida jury found Floyd guilty of first-degree murder. Believe it or not, it wasn't the death of Michael or his mama, Susie Savakis. There was a third victim. Remember how I told you that Susie was a dancer at a strip club called Mons Venus? That's where she met her friend, Cheryl Camesso. Cheryl had very long black hair and lots of photos. It's kind of teased, very 1980s. A lot of people said she was gorgeous and Italian and wanted to be a model. Mons Venus was just going to be a stepping stone for her. A couple of times a week, she would come over to Floyd and Susie's two-bedroom trailer. They all hung out. She got close to Susie and apparently talked to her about leaving Floyd. A lot of people that worked at Mons Venus talked to Susie about it. They knew Floyd was controlling and creepy. By this point, Susie was about 20 years old. As I told you a couple of chapters ago, Cheryl went missing in 1989, leaving only a red Corvette behind. 6 years later, a landscaper came across her remains off Interstate 275 in Florida. For years, she was Jane Doe I-275, but with a lot of detective work, authorities finally identified her.
And they were able to identify the victim as Cheryl Comesso.
Investigators then had to try to figure out who had killed her. They suspected Floyd because he hung out with her in Florida, but didn't have enough to put him away on just their association with one another. But in a matter of time, the case had a breakthrough. A car mechanic was doing some repairs on a pickup truck, the one Floyd ran away with Michael in. Here's Agent Lobb again.
They found the vehicle Franklin Floyd used to get away from Oklahoma in a parking lot in Dallas, Texas, I believe at a Wonder Bread baking factory.
They put it up on a lift, and that's when it was discovered that there were a number of photographs taped to the gas tank of that truck.
More than 36 of them, all of young women in various states of undress.
And it was pretty obvious to me and all of us when we saw those photos that these were sort of Franklin Floyd's trophies, because there was a lot of incriminating photographs, including photographs of Sharon Marshall as a little girl.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity. It's designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals to help cover unexpected expenses, plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. In other words, it's like getting a paycheck for life. We'll say that again. A paycheck for life. Guaranteed. Sounds too good to be true? It's not. It's the Parity Flex annuity. And it's one more example of their commitment to creating a better financial future for women. One where they feel empowered, not excluded, and ready to take on whatever their next chapter holds. Gainbridge believes financial flexibility and security are things we all could use more of. At retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Who's with us? Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Please visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.
With the best all-inclusive vacation deals to Mexico and the Caribbean, booking your getaway with Cheap Caribbean Vacations means you have more freedom to do your deal. Whether you want to enjoy snorkeling, endless margaritas and more, or simply soak up the sun and sand in a tropical paradise, Cheap Caribbean Vacations has your deal for that. Plan and book the exact getaway you want at exactly the right price for you by using our exclusive budget beach finder, or find a featured all-inclusive package to Ocean by H10 Hotels and do your deal at CheapCaribbean.com.
Yancey suspects Floyd put them under his car because he couldn't stand to get rid of his trophies. Maybe he thought he'd come back and get them someday. Either way, they confirm the unimaginable, that Floyd had been abusing his stepdaughter since childhood when he kidnapped Susie.
Which confirmed our suspicion that he was a pedophile. There were also another photo or two of women that we never identified.
Other photographs showed a woman partially dressed, and she'd been beaten. It was Cheryl.
They had found a body, the skeletal remains of a woman a few years earlier in St. Petersburg area. They were able to take the clothing and wash it. And when you look at the photos they uploaded and you saw the pink or the purple bikini and the striped shirt and compared it with the photos that we found, you could tell it's the exact same clothing.
What's in these photographs honestly makes me sick. But this evidence was crucial in the state of Florida's case against Franklin Floyd.
These were Polaroids. And he was very clear not to show himself in any of them, although there was one good thumb photo in one of the photographs that I know that the police in Florida used to their advantage to try to identify him.
I don't know why Cheryl was murdered. No one does. But there's reason to think that she probably got in between Floyd and Susie.
And as far as you know, no other murder victims.
Well, as far as we know. I think we all suspect there are more.
By the time Floyd was sentenced and Cheryl's death, He was already locked up for other crimes, including the 1994 Michael Hughes kidnapping. Here's Agent Lobb again.
I've always maintained that for somebody on death row, death is easy. They get out of prison. What's harder is sitting there in your cell for 23 hours a day. Sounds a little cruel, and maybe it is. That's just how I feel. Every now and then you get a case that you read about and the guy gets the death penalty when it, you know, say if it involves children, like it did in this case. You're just like, yeah, good.
Dorothy, Sandy's youngest, wanted to confront Floyd, to tell him flat out how much he had taken from her family. She never got to know her oldest sister, Susie. Dorothy was born after Susie was already gone.
Excuse my language, but I said, when that motherfucker goes to die, I want to be in a window holding my sister's picture up along with my nephew and watch him take his last breath and tell him flat out, you took this from me and I never got it.
I even wrote to Floyd in prison. I just wanted to understand, but what he responded was basically incomprehensible. Floyd may have been sentenced to death, but he was never put to death. His defense consistently argued that he was too mentally unstable to face the death penalty. Other people I spoke to who knew him said his mental illness was among the most pronounced they'd ever seen on death row. Floyd died of natural causes in January 2023. He was 79. Of all the people in his story, Floyd got to die of old age. The Tampa Bay Times wrote about his death. They listed off his string of crimes, Cheryl's murder, Michael's kidnapping, and referenced his erratic and angry behavior. A Florida state attorney was quoted in Floyd's obituary. He said a better thing couldn't have happened to a worse person. The news made its way to Agent Lobb.
And I had promised him, Floyd, you're going to die in prison. And I remember one of my first reactions was, well, it's a promise I kept.
Sandy was elated to hear that he had died.
Hallelujah. He sure ain't going to heaven.
By the time Amy, Sandy's third daughter, heard of Floyd's passing, she was already trying to move past him.
He doesn't deserve the right for me to think about him, to care about him, to give two sticks in the dirt of what his life was like or anything. He doesn't have that right. So I don't let it bother me.
Floyd was never held accountable for most of what he did to Sandy's family. How he separated a boy from his mother. How he did it again when he murdered Susie and left Michael motherless. When Steve got adopted and ended up with Mary's family, he ended up in the dark, consumed by a feeling of not being wanted.
You know what Franklin did with Stephen? That was bullshit. Nobody, and I mean nobody, should never be taken away from their mother at all. And then, you know, he gets robbed of knowing his birth mother.
That left Steve at a crossroads. Last we left him, he hadn't made up his mind if he wanted to keep getting to know Sandy, if that wound could ever be repaired. I'd spent so many years thinking Floyd might have killed Steve. When I found out he was still alive, it was an absolute miracle. That's one of the reasons why this case is so unusual for me. Usually, I find dead people and reunite them with their families. But with Steve, I was trying to figure out how to help him heal. There are no physical marks on Steve like there were on Cheryl or Susie. But Floyd didn't just leave wounds that you can see. He was an emotional wrecking ball for Steve and his siblings. They have to decide if they want to choose each other as family now in middle age, or if they want to let sleeping dogs lie, because they just can't see a path forward together. It's the biggest question of this entire podcast. Next time on Hello, John Doe. Steve's sister, Amy, grew up with her mother, Sandy. But by the time she was a teenager, she left home and had planned on never looking back.
I feel like he's a little bit jealous because I had our actual mom. And I'm jealous that he didn't have her. Instead of being part of the family, he was given away. When in all reality, it saved his life.
Hello, John Doe is an original production by Revelations Entertainment in association with First and Last Productions. From Revelations, our executive producers are Morgan Freeman and James Younger. From First to Last, Lindsay Moreno is the executive producer. Our producing partner is Neon Hum Media. It was written and produced by Kate Mishkin. Our editor is Catherine St. Louis. She is also Neon Hum Media's executive editor. Our executive producer is Shara Morris. Our development producer is Ian Lindsay. Our associate producer is Rufaro Faith Mazarura. Sound design and mixing by Scott Somerville. Theme and original music composed by Jesse Perlstein. Additional music came from Epidemic Sound and Blue Dot Sessions. Fendel Fulton is our fact checker. Our production manager is Samantha Allison. For My Heart Media, Dylan Fagan is our executive producer. Special thanks to Adelia Rubin at Neon Hum and Carrie Lieberman and Will Pearson at iHeartMedia. I'm Todd Matthews. You can learn more about NamUs at namus.gov. The number for the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children's call center is 1-800-THE-LOST. That's 1-800-843-5678. The National Sexual Assault Hotline from the Rape, Abuse, and Incest National Network is 1-800-656-4673. Okay, guys, this is the end of the show. If you didn't like it, don't do anything. But if you did like it, you make sure that you rate and review the show. It helps more people to find it and hear this wonderful story. Thanks again for listening.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
With the best all-inclusive vacation deals to Mexico and the Caribbean, booking your getaway with Cheap Caribbean Vacations means you have more freedom to do your deal. Whether you want to enjoy snorkeling, endless margaritas and more, or simply soak up the sun and sand in a tropical paradise, Cheap Caribbean Vacations has your deal for that. Plan and book the exact getaway you want at exactly the right price for you by using our exclusive budget beach finder, or find a featured all-inclusive package to Generations Riviera Maya Resort and do your deal at cheapcaribbean.com.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.